So glad to have also Mrs. Harper with us today. Kimberly Bartlett Harper, Dr. Bartlett's daughter, brother of Pastor Bartlett at Maranatha. Pray for her husband as he's speaking to the Taze Valley today. So Brother Harper. Brother Bartlett, come, brother. Share what the Lord laid upon your heart today. May you have ears that are open. May we have Bibles that are open. And may be in tune with the Lord today. So, Dr. Bills, good to have you with us today, brother.
Thank you, brother.
These will pick me up fine. They'll pick you up fine. I believe they will, sir.
All right. Well, I do have my youngest daughter with me today. How old is Kim? How much older is Kelly than you?
3 minutes.
She's the youngest daughter. The other one was born 3 minutes before her. Have you figured out they're twins? We knew that the day before they were born. That's back before ultrasound and all that business, you know. So the doctor came in the room after some examination, and I don't know why I didn't hear 2 heartbeats before, but he didn't. No ultrasound. And he said to me for the first time, he said, "How many baby beds do you have at home?" I said, "One." He said, "You better get 2 of everything." And we did. And here she is. I brought her for show and tell today. Well, it's been good to have met some folk here. And Brother Bud is intriguing right there. I met him. He and I will never see eye to eye, guarantee you.
I mean, I hear you.
Now, I love your pastor. He's one of the men that I pray for, Pastor Wright, and God bless you. And he's just a man after my own head, that's for sure, right there. Don't laugh like that. It hurts me when you laugh like that. I have hair. There's some. He's got some over there and over there. Both of us just have very wide parts. Well, I'm gonna tell one more, because a man said to me one time, I was just having a good time. I'm a priest, but I just having a good time in the pulpit. Maybe he said something funny, I don't know. And he said, "Oh, very, very pious man." He said, I just don't believe in all that levity in the pulpit." I said, "Sir, if I don't have a good time in church, I ain't going to have a good time anywhere, because that's the only place I go. And so I'm just going to let my hair down, all right?" Boy, I tell you, I've got me a good audience here today. Wow. You know, when I speak at Maranatha, I can say the same things I just said, and I get a few grins. But they put up with me for 39 years. So they've heard it all right? On different occasions during my 39 years of pastoring Maranatha, especially at our present location, Pastor Tim, my wife would send me a note to the pulpit. And the usher would bring it and discreetly hand it to me. And it may read something like this: "We need extra nursery workers." It may be somebody left their lights on in the parking lot. It may be that if your kid's in the nursery, you better check. But this particular time, I'm about to preach. I'm not over here sitting down. I'm about to preach. And the usher comes and right here hands me a note. Well, I'm going to look at that before I preach, because it may need attention. So he hands me this note. I've got the note right here. The note is dated February the 15th, 2004. So it's been a while back. Now, my wife had sent me notes before that didn't have to do with the lights on in the parking lot, nursery, and all that. And the note may read something like this: "I love you. You're the greatest preacher in the world." You know, a bunch of lies like that, you know. But this particular note, and I've got the note in my hand right here. This is it in her handwriting. She had beautiful handwriting. So I read it to myself. And I'm going to read it out loud to you. Check your zipper! They did not teach me in Bible college how to take care of that. I don't mean the zipper, I mean what if that happens. But here's what I did. And this ought to be taught in Bible college. This is what you do. Right. Shall we bow in prayer? And I said this, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. No one looking around. I had somebody to tell me, I need a songbook. I'm not going to sing, but Kimberly, bring me a songbook.
Right,
I got. Thank you. I've got to prop my notes up. They're falling down on me here. All right, we can do that. And so, where was I? Did I finish my show? I think I did. Maybe. Shall we pray? And all that business. Somebody asked me, here's where I was going with that. Somebody asked me one time when I told them, I said, preacher, did that really happen? I said, yeah, I got the note. There it is. You know, yeah, it really happened. But I want you to open the Word of God. It's a privilege to be here. And I would tell you this, that the folks at Maranatha learned this. My sermons are like trains. I can uncouple them anywhere. I said that in our church, and a lady said to me at the door one day, I guess I'd preached too long. She said, you forgot to uncouple that train, did you not? And I said, I guess so. But I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to do it by plan. I'm going to uncouple this train since we're going to eat. And then we're coming back in here. So I'm going to uncouple this train and finish it up in the next, so that I'm not going to preach a long, long message, all right? So I'm going to do it that way. Uncouple the train. And appreciate the water. When I was a young preacher, I was called a preacher when I was 16. I ran on hot air back then. Now I run on cold water. It seems to work better. I want you to open the Word of God this morning to the book of 1 Thessalonians. The book of 1 Thessalonians. And we're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'll announce the verses in just a moment. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Let's bow in prayer. Our heads bowed as we look to our Lord in prayer. Lord, I want to thank you for this gathering today. Thank you for the Sunday school lesson, our brother who prepared the lesson to help us. And thank you for the music today. It's blessed our heart and hopefully got us ready to have an open heart and mind to the Word of God. And we pray that you, with the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, be lifted up today. And Lord, I pray that you'd meet spiritual needs of any who are unsaved especially. But for those of us that are saved, Lord, that you'd speak to our hearts. May it have been good to have been in the house of God today, because truly you're in our midst today. Lord, we thank you for it. And Lord, I want to pray again that the Spirit of the Lord God would be upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach. I pray in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. In this last chapter of 1 Thessalonians, and in the last few verses, the Apostle Paul said, wherefore, in verse 11, wherefore, for this cause. Someone rightfully said it, when you see a wherefore in the Bible, see what it's there for. So for this cause. And then he gives 22 commands, which not the Spirit, and lists them all down through them. I'm not going to read all that. He gives 22 commands. They're more than commands. They're implicit. In other words, they're military-like commands. So he's given these military-like commands as he comes to the end of 1 Thessalonians to this model church, and to you, and to me. And I said there's 22. Don't get nervous. I'm not going to preach on 22 points today. I heard Brother Roloff at Temple, as our pastor did many times, and Brother Roloff come to the pulpit, and he said, Well, tonight I'm going to preach on 29 things about the Word of God. I thought, man, we're going to be here all night. And we were, but it was good. It was good. Don't get nervous. I'm not preaching on 22 things. But we're going to read the text. And I'm going to preach on three of those things because I think they're applicable to what I call biblical standards of conduct for every believer. Biblical standards of conduct for every believer. When you say standards today, you're thinking about the person, the preacher that says, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. And that's proper. That's right. But you know, there are in the Bible many thou shalt. And it's not only wrong to do those things that we're not supposed to do, it's also wrong not to do the things that we are supposed to do. Amen? Now, let's look at those things that we are supposed to do, just three of them today, from verse 16, 17, and 18. Look at the verse 16, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. Rejoice evermore. Let's say that together, please. Rejoice evermore. Rejoice evermore. Look at verse 17. Pray without ceasing. Say that with me, please. Pray without ceasing. Amen. You memorized two verses today already. Isn't that good? Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. Now look at verse 18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now keep this in mind. These are commands for every child of God. These are commands for the person who is saved. They are from our Commander-in-Chief, the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're for you and they're for me. Hey, to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, we're in the Lord's army. To be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, we've got to do two things with these commands. Number one, we have to hear them. We've done that already, right? We've heard them. You said them. And number two, we have to heed them. The words that I speak to you, Jesus said, their spirit and their life. It's one thing to hear it. It's another thing to heed it. And these are biblical standards of conduct, again, for every believer. For those of us who are saved, we know Jesus Christ as our Savior. Rejoice, pray, and give thanks. What's a child of God going to do with that? Those are very simple. What are we supposed to do? What are we going to do? That's the question this morning I would like to leave with you. I'd like that to be on your mind and heart today. Jesus said this in John chapter 14, verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and I'll manifest myself to him. The Lord Jesus Christ. The results of obeying these commands is godly living until Jesus comes. Look at verse 23. Godly living till Jesus comes. These commands, rejoice, pray, give thanks. And the very God of peace sanctify you whole. And I pray your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved. What? What's the next word, please? Blameless under the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Blameless. And so these commands given to us until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, is coming. Rejoice. Our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, is coming. Pray. Our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, is coming. Give thanks. For 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Pastor, when I was a kid preacher, I was preaching the perilous times are here. I mean, that's many years ago, huh? 60 years ago. Telling my age. You think there were rough times back then? What are we having today? Hadn't it intensified a great deal? I mean, it's just sometimes, now I realize part of this is my age, but sometimes I want to confess I'm watching the news. And I'm not trying to be pious, I'm being honest. I'm watching the news, I did it the other day, and as I watched the news, I'm tearing up. Because I realize my grandchildren aren't going to have the same country I had, or my great-grandchildren. They're not going to have the same country that we've had, that we've been blessed in. I don't want to get off on that. I'm going to just come to number one, rejoice. Rejoice. What are we going to do in these perilous times? First of all, look at verse 16 again, rejoice evermore. You know that word rejoice, it simply means to be cheerful, literally, or happy. Be happy. God desires His children to be joyful. He's given us every reason to be joyful. People said, how are you today? Well, I'm doing pretty good under the circumstances. Honey, get out from under the circumstances and you'll do a lot better. Amen. I don't want to stay under those circumstances. I want to rejoice every morning. You know, you don't manufacture joy. He's not worked up. I'm going to be joyful. Turn that switch on. No, no, no. A spirit-controlled and filled person will be joyful. It's part of the fruit of the Spirit. So the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Well, preacher, that's not my personality to be a happy person, to be joyful, to be cheerful. All right? That's not my personality. That's why we'll have the altar open for you after the service. You come get that right with God. Amen. You ought to. I know these are dark days, but I tell you, I've read the end of the book.
Amen.
I've got every reason to be joyful.
Amen.
I can say, I can't be joyful. I lost my wife 2.5 years ago. Didn't lose her. She went to heaven 2.5 years ago. I can't be joyful. Why not? Why can't I be joyful? I know where she is. I didn't lose her. I know that's where I'm going to be.
Amen.
I know I'm going to see my dad there and my little brother there and my son there and on it goes. I've got every reason to be joyful. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if any man be in Christ, he's a what? New creature. Old things are passed away. It's the tense that they're passing away and they're becoming new. And thank God for His mercy is renewed every day. And the child of God will find out this. The Bible says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And Nehemiah said, the joy of the Lord is your strength. We've got a strength the world doesn't know about. It can bring us joy. I want you to notice three areas in which the child of God can rejoice. And you'll agree with this. I start to say you'll like it. I don't know if you'll like my preaching or not. It doesn't matter. It's the way I've been doing it for all my life. So I ain't going to change for nobody this time. Excuse me for the English. But it's good theology. Rejoice, number one, in the Lord's salvation. Just rejoice. Don't get over that. There's two places I encourage every child of God not to get very far away from. Calvary, where He died for you, and your conversion, where you came to Him. You got saved because of Calvary. Don't get very far from those places. Jesus said, rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Wow. Your names are inscribed in heaven. Thank God for that. I remember Maranatha one time, your pastor had been in our church, but I remember exactly where I was after the service. I hadn't gone off the platform yet. I moved over on this side on the platform. And a man came up there on the platform, and the service is over, and we're just talking and fellowshipping, and he brought a big book like a Strong's Concordance. If you don't know what that is, maybe you're old enough to remember Sears Roebuck Catalog. I said that one time, and my wife said, you realize nobody knows what you're talking about in Sears Roebuck Catalog. It's a big book, okay? And we used it for a lot of different things back in the day. However, you are a sight to preach to, I'll tell you that. I'm having a good time. This man had his great big book, and I looked at it. He said, I want to show you something. Okay, okay. And the book was Who's Who in American Education. Man. He said, look at this. And when he opened the book, it was like a Strong's Concordance in that it had column after column. And all it had in there was name after name after name after name after name. And he said, look at this. And he went down in a certain column there. He said, there's my son's name right there. He's listed in Who's Who in American Education. I didn't do it, but I wanted to say, well, la-di-da. Look. My name this morning, and your name, if you're a child of God, say amen.
Amen.
Your name is listed not in who's who. Your name is listed in who's going to be where in eternity. You're going to be in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. Our citizenship is in heaven. The Bible says, from whence we look for the Savior, rejoice in the Lord's salvation. And then rejoice evermore. Rejoice in your opportunity to serve God. Isn't it great that we get to serve God? Isn't it great we get to teach a Sunday school class, brother? Isn't it great to get to play a piano, to sing in the choir? By the way, man, I don't know how you got that kind of music out of that choir and the volume of it. I could even hear it myself, you know, without my hearing aids. I don't wear hearing aids. But rejoice in your opportunity to serve the Lord. I was glad, the psalmist said, when they said unto me, what? Let us go into the house of the Lord. Isn't it great we come to church?
Yes, amen.
It's terrible that some places church attendance is in jeopardy.
Yes.
I mean, by not just because of the, well, it's in jeopardy because California is what I was talking about. Okay. And I'm not going to park there. My son, that's now my pastor, Kevin Bartlett. Oh, when he was just little, I don't remember his age, but I do remember that we went to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, mission conference, Bible conference, revival, or we're going to drive over here, hear this fellow speak. We're going to hear Glenn Matthews this week over here. It seemed like we're always going to church. Just going to church. And our little squirt said, Daddy, do we have to go to church today? I said, Son, yes, we're going to church. It's what God would have us to do. We believe in church. We're church people. We're going to church. So then about another 2 weeks, and he said, Daddy, we have to go to church again tonight. Boy, I fooled him this time. He's ready for that same answer. I don't know why he did that, but I said, no, Kevin, you don't have to go. He looked at me. He thought he heard, what? What did he say? I said, no, you don't have to go. I said, you get to go. You get to go. And that little 2x4 is now my pastor. And you know what he's preaching? Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, being faithful, living for God, and being in church. And, oh, I thank God for that. And what's a believer to do in these troublesome times? Well, we're to obey the Lord and the Lord's command regardless. And from our text, we're obeying these military-like commands. I call them biblical standards of conduct for every believer. Number one was rejoice. Number two, let's look at verse 17. It says, pray without ceasing. By the way, I'm going to throw this in. This won't cost you a thing extra. I'm going to back up. Rejoice evermore. How many of you believe that's the shortest verse in the New Testament? How many believe that's the shortest verse of the New Testament? What's the shortest verse of the New Testament? Wrong, you just failed the test. It's this verse right here. It takes less letters in the Greek language to say rejoice evermore than it does Jesus wept. So I've taught you something today. This is the shortest verse in the New Testament. To pray. Pray. Rejoice all the time. Pray all the time. Well, preacher, I'd have to be a Christian and act like that. Exactly. Exactly. Jesus said it this way in Luke chapter 18, verse 1. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Well, preacher, I can't go around praying all the time. Why not? It's a wonderful habit to get into. You know, you don't have to bow your head and get on your knees and close your eyes to pray. I remember one of the first times we came home from Tennessee Temple. There's some guys coming this way, and I said, I'd like to go with you. And we did. Got in the car, and whoever was driving said, well, so-and-so leads in prayer, and everybody here, just pray around. It's about five or six of us in the car. And so this one started praying, this one prayed, and I prayed. And okay, I'm going to close the prayer. And then before I got my eyes open, I heard the driver praying. Oh, man, I opened my eyes. He's looking it wasn't interstate back then. He's driving up around 11 from out of Tennessee, going up the road and just talking to the Lord and looking, you know, and whatever, stopping the stoplight, whatever. And that intrigued me then. I never forgot that. And, you know, if you can't pray driving, you need some lessons on prayer. That's when we need to pray for sure. But pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. You know, that's not talking about your posture in prayer, is it? It's talking about your persistence in prayer. That you're constantly in fellowship with our Heavenly Father. The psalmist put it this way, and I love this. Evening, morning, and noon will I pray and cry aloud, and He shall hear my voice. Wow! The Lord said, I'm going to hear you. The God who said and it was so, who said and it was so over and over again, by whom all things consist, that God's going to hear my voice. That's what it says. Then why wouldn't I talk to him often? Why would I talk to him and continue to pray without ceasing? My daughter-in-law, Beverly, I heard her sing a song one time on the CD. She sent it to us. And Pastor, I'd never heard this song before. And I just got out of the mailbox and was driving somewhere. And I put that in, and this particular song came on. And again, I'd never heard that song before. And at that particular time, I was having some problems, some burdens, all right? Some things in the church or in my life, I don't remember exactly, but I know I was in a time of testing and burdens and had a lot of concerns at that time. And she starts singing that song. In a few minutes, I pulled the car off the road and started listening to the song. The song was, "I Will Talk to My Father for You." What I know about many songwriters, they're not theologians. They just write something about whatever, you know, may not be anything scriptural. In other words, they don't write songs like Fanny Crosby. Fanny Crosby wrote songs that were full of scripture. Fanny Crosby wrote songs that were biblically correct. And sometimes a song overpromises something, you know, and, you know, it's just not right. This one was on target for me, especially that day. "I Will Talk to My Father for You." And that song didn't overpromise anything. First time I heard it. It was, have you ever heard that song? "I Will Talk to My Father for You." It promises two things. And she starts singing that and she gave the song. Don't get nervous, I'm not going to sing, all right? But here's the promises. The Lord will hear all your prayers. Amen. And that's what I'm preaching. Pray without ceasing. And to His word, He'll be true. Man, that's not an overpromise, but what a powerful promise that is. The Lord's going to hear your prayer, and the Lord's going to be true to His word. And that helped me that day. And I thank God for that. Why would you call upon Him regularly? Why would you not call upon Him regularly? Because He's promised to answer your prayer. Listen to a few verses on that. John 16:24. "Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy might be full." And then Matthew 7:7-8. Jesus said this, "Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that seeketh findeth. And he that, everyone that knocketh receiveth. And he that seeketh findeth. And he that knocketh it shall be opened unto them." The psalmist said this, "In my distress I cried unto the Lord, and He heard me." Amen. The Lord said, "I'm going to hear you." He's not far away. He's right there. Jesus, you know, Jesus is our example in our Christian life. Because we're saved, not to be saved. We get baptized because Jesus left an example. We're faithful and we're trying to witness to people because Jesus left us an example. But He's our example when it comes to our prayer life, okay? He is our example. Listen to it from Luke 6:12. "And it came to pass in those days He went out on the mountain to pray," Jesus Christ, "and He continued all night in prayer to God." If the Son of God, God incarnate in human flesh, came to the necessity of praying all night, why do we say a little "now lay me down to sleep" type prayer and do not continue in prayer, be instant in prayer? Pray without ceasing. You know, it's always too soon to quit praying. I confess, there's times when I've quit praying for people. There's a man that I had quit praying for 2 weeks ago. Well, I had quit praying some time ago because he's not going to get saved. We had five Franks, first name Frank in our church, five of them, five. Not in our church, but that we're trying to reach. Five, some husbands and wives there, five of them. And you know, four of them, I'm not going to tell you about different ones, but the four of them had gotten saved. And there's a fellow there from years ago, his name was Frank Lilly, and he's the one I didn't know very well. I knew Frank Jarrett and others that got saved, but I didn't know Frank Lilly. And 2 weeks ago, Frank got saved, and somebody in the church reminded me, said, "You know, that's the last of the Franks. Five of them. Wow." Now, that didn't happen in 2 weeks, 2 months, 2 years, a long time. I had forgotten about, I want to confess, I'd forgotten about Frank Lilly because I just didn't know him that well. And God didn't forget about the prayers that have been prayed for that man. And God hasn't forgot about the prayers that you've interceded for those that are unsaved and for special needs you might have. And it came to pass, Mark chapter 1, verse 35. "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, Jesus went out to a solitary place and there prayed." I just don't have time, preacher. I've got to be at work at 8 o'clock. That means I've got to get up at 7. Hey, get up about 15 minutes earlier and pray. Just try that. Just make time to pray. It's such a great blessing. It's always too soon to quit praying. It's too soon to quit praying. I'm going to tell this illustration, and then I'm going to close. And the reason I'm going to close is because I've given 2 points. Rejoice every morning, pray without ceasing. If you're looking at the text content there, verse 18 says, "And everything give thanks." After we eat, I'm going to finish the message and do the last point. I could actually uncouple the train. But what we're to do as a child of God? Well, we are to rejoice. We're to pray. Pray without ceasing. My wife never knew her dad. Never knew him at all. She did not live with her mother. She was raised by her grandmother and her uncle, her mother's brother. That would be Tom King. And we prayed for Tom for years. And that he was a good man. And we know none is good spiritually, but he was a good man. And he was a gentleman. And we prayed for him for years. Well, his sister, Kathleen, that was my wife's mother, got saved. And we kept praying for Tom. Others in the family got saved. We kept praying for Tom. We would go to their house on Thanksgiving time. Tom sits at the head of the table. And I'm to his right and my wife is to my right next to me. And this is the way it was done every year at Thanksgiving time. She had wonderful food on the table. I mean, ham, turkey, everything. I'm glad we won't eat in a few minutes. Amen. And he would look over at me and he would use my nickname and he would say, "Billy Joe." You didn't know my name was Billy Joe, did you? I hate it. He said, "Would you turn thanks?" That's the way he said it. He said, you can just hear him say that, right? He didn't say return thanks. He said, "Would you turn thanks?" I said, "Sure." Every time, we went through the same routine. And then one night, we got a phone call. And he had gone to the First Baptist Church of Whitesville, my home church. And he had been gone for a few Sundays. But long story short, Tom got saved. They called us to tell us about it. He got saved. Well, we left our church the next Sunday night or whenever it was and went up to see Tom baptized. And he followed the Lord in believer's baptism. And I thank God for that. I'm going to fast forward a little bit. Tom is staying our house up on the hill behind our church. He's staying there because his wife is in the hospital. So he's staying with us. This is months after he got saved. And my wife and I go to bed. And across the hall from us, down one room, Tom, that was where Tom was staying. And we got in bed, and I told Faith, I said, "Do you leave the TV on?" "No." "Is the radio on?" "No." I said, "I hear something." She said, "They're all turned off. There's no." I said, "Well, I'm going to check it out." I went out of our room, down the hall, just a few feet, and that the door on his bedroom where Tom was staying was ajar just a little bit. And then as I got closer, I could hear him talking. Well, today you think, well, okay, and it hadn't been that long, maybe somebody talking on the phone. Well, I listened for a minute. And he was talking long distance. Sorry, he's talking to the Lord. Amen. And as I look, he's on his knees and he's praying. That was sacred. I went back to the room. I told Faith, I said, "He's in there praying." And we thanked the Lord that, you know, we didn't give up praying for Tom. I mean, I had it picked. I don't have it here, but I think it was 30 some years we prayed for him. A long time. I mean, until Tom got saved. Just keep on praying. Keep on praying till light breaks through. The Lord will answer. He'll answer you. God keeps His promise. His word is true. Just keep on praying till light breaks through. So the military light commands for the child of God. Two of them is simply this. Rejoice evermore. And pray without ceasing. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our heads bowed as we look to our Lord in prayer. If you're not, our heads are bowed, if you're not saved today, you need someone to pray for you and someone to pray with you. And if you're unsaved today and you say, "Preacher, I'd like to have somebody to pray with me and for me. I'm unsaved. I need to be saved. Pray with me. Pray for me." Would you lift your hand, please, to indicate you're unsaved and you're saying, "Pray for me. Pray with me." And we'll be glad to have someone to talk with you and pray with you. Just lift your hand. If you're a child of God, have you heard these military-like commands to rejoice? Are you going to determine to do that? It's what God says. To pray without ceasing, are you going to determine to do that? It's what God says. God help us. Let's stand, please, with our heads bowed. And after I lead us in prayer, the pastor is going to come and continue the service any way he would want. Lord, I thank you today for the privilege of being with God's people in this service. And thank you for the music and the Sunday school lesson and all that we've experienced today and what we'll experience on later this afternoon. And Lord, bless us for continuing to come to the close of this service and the invitation time. And Lord, we'll praise you. We ask it in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. Amen.
Yes, we'll play. If my eye closed this morning, you know Christ the Savior, that's a very most important question we would ask. We ask of their lifetime. Or if you do not raise your hand today, but you will be a part of our gift to receive Christ. Perhaps your own burden is to some people here. I try to pray for every single person that fills our church every single day. Some of you, I believe, but you have to make a professional faith. Yes, follow one of you back.
our hearts that we would be rejoicing people. If there are any people in the world that should be rejoicing, it is us. It is because of joy you have put there. And may we be people of prayer. May we not simply hear, but heed. We can go on and on. People can tell us to be safe about this and practice safety here, there, and on. Tell us that we should be doing this, but Lord, we've been told to pray, so maybe not just hear it, but maybe be eating as well. So Lord, bless our time together as we go out from us now, as we go downstairs for the meal together. Thank you for the homecoming that we're going to experience today, but Lord, more importantly, the homecoming we'll spend with you for eternity.
Amen.
Renew with those who've already gone before,
Amen.
Those yet to go. Lord, we look forward to that. Ask all these things in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. There will be an offering basket in the back there for our speakers. If you want to give for the love offering, this will be your last and only chance to give for that. And then if you want to meander downstairs, please do so there. I think that's most of the announcements. Have dinner, and then back here at 1:30 for afternoon service and part, the third part of our message.